Welcome to DM a Dentist, your friendly neighborhood podcast, where Dr. Rusty and Dr. Mike are here to make dental care approachable for everyone. Because everyone deserves a healthy smile without the fear.
Well, well, welcome back.
Welcome to another episode of DM a Dentist.
My name's Mike.
I'm Rusty, as you know.
And let's chat about teeth.
Yeah. So what the filling's been going on in dentistry, Mike?
Well, lately I've been seeing a lot of veneer techs out there, which is a bit alarming.
Right, right. There's been a bunch of videos.
I saw them on TikTok, Instagram. I've seen like websites. So I never thought I'd have to say this, but make sure your dentist is actually a dentist.
Yeah, that's definitely an important aspect of making sure.
There are certain licenses you have to have to do certain things, right? Like nail techs are a thing. Veneer techs are not a thing.
Right. Yeah. So veneer techs do not exist. That's not a thing. We went to dental school for a long time to do what we do. A lot of people out there.
That 4 years undergrad, 4 years dental school, 1 year residency.
Yeah. And by law, you have to post that up on the wall in our dental offices. So go in if you want to just make sure when you go in to get something done, just look on the wall.
Time you're seeing your veneer tech, ask them for their license.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, that's important.
It's wild. And the things that are concerning is not necessarily are you getting good work done. I'm not even worried about whether it looks good, but you're also worried about they don't have the same sterilization techniques that we're required to have by law.
Right.
Right. There's certain things that you have to maintain a standard of care for it. People that aren't trained don't have that.
Yeah, they don't. And I mean, you're still going to be spending your money with these people too. I mean, they might be cheaper than a dentist, but they're still not going to be free.
Right.
You're going to be spending good money and like might be, yeah, like you said, dirty instruments going in your mouth, doing who knows what, grinding your teeth away with like a Dremel. I mean, you definitely want someone who's going to be trained and you don't want to bargain shop with your healthcare.
I agree.
It's not going to go long.
Yeah. I think I'm going to start doing some plastic surgery on the side. Plastic surgery tech.
Oh, okay. Don't let the board hear about that. Veneer tech's not a thing. Hopefully, people that have gone to them, you know, don't have too much damage done, and hopefully, it can be stopped. But it's a sticky situation because they're not dentists, so you know, the boards of dentistry don't necessarily have much jurisdiction to do anything. And again, unless there's, you know, physical harm done, the police aren't going to get involved. And so a lot of it's going to have to come down to like civil suits, which get sticky and get expensive. And so a lot of people are just getting away with doing it. I mean, there has been some cases. We were looking at one where there has been like criminal charges, but.
Right. But there's no really governing body other than the consumer protection or something like that. Like the Board of Dentistry is not going to go after a non-dentist.
Right.
Typically. I mean, maybe they will. Because this is kind of new. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely new in the popularity that it's getting, or maybe it's always been a thing and you just haven't realized it. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
it's coming to light.
And I was going through the websites, looking at some of the cases, and there's like clear signs of cavities and decay, and they're putting veneers over the, it's not good.
Right.
So just be careful, make sure you know what you're doing. And don't pay for something twice.
Yeah. They're leaving stuff can leave infection, abscesses. Yeah.
Everywhere has a standard of care, right? Different countries, different states. So I think it's important. This kind of brings us to our next thing. Bonnie asked us a question, and she asked, do you recommend getting extensive treatment like crowns or veneers outside the United States? And we do get that a lot, that question.
Right.
So thanks, Bonnie.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, for sure. And I have some patients who are from a foreign country and get their dental work, you know, regular cleanings and things done here, and then the extensive work they do get home in their home country because they know a good dentist there. And I say that's the most important thing. You know, there's good and bad dentists everywhere you go. And just make sure whatever country you're thinking about going to, do your research, see what their standards of care are there, and make sure they're up to the standard that you're comfortable with in your mouth. And make sure that you're looking up the dentist, make sure it's a legitimate person. And, you know, there's good dentists all around the world for sure. And it can be cheaper in some places, for sure, than it is in the U.S. I mean, healthcare in the U.S. can be expensive, so understand why we get that question a lot from people.
Yeah, and I would just say be careful. Like, even if the work is done well and good and up, like, sometimes it can be better than what I can do, right? There's great people everywhere. But the one issue we run into is it's not warranted. You're not going to find a dentist in the U.S. that's going to warranty someone else's work that was done abroad.
Yeah.
So if you go abroad and get, say, people really into, like, implant-retained dentures or things, no one here is really going to want to warranty that because they didn't do the work. So you got it a lot cheaper, but you have to keep going back to that dentist to get recurring work.
Well, because typically if something happens with work that you had recently done, that's what I tell you. Go see the dentist who did that. Go see, you know, whoever it was that you saw. And if that's in Turkey or somewhere around the world or wherever it may be, that's a long way to go to travel to see someone.
Yeah.
If something breaks or chips or has an issue or a concern, it's going to really be a lot harder to deal with that.
Yeah.
So that's one the downside of it. But there's a lot of pros.
Upfront cheaper, which is great. I mean, I get it. Right. Healthcare in the United States is expensive.
Right.
But it's important to get it done well, which you can get it done well abroad.
Right.
But also just be aware that you're going to have routine care that comes up and you might have to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. And just do your research. Like I said, make sure that where you're going is a legit person. You know, there are good dentists everywhere. So make sure they are a dentist. Make sure they did some formal training, unlike the veneer techs we talked about in the beginning.
Correct.
Don't go see them. You know, they are not trained. They're doing these, like, even some companies you are online that are like these Snap-on smiles as that I get it for aesthetics and financial purposes. It can help. But you know, you're trapping whatever that is in there and decay, infection, abscesses, all those things can really grow and can get just kind of covered over by these veneers or these Snap-on smiles or all of these things that just kind of,
So then you go in for an aesthetic thing, but then 5-6 years down the road, you're getting all your teeth pulled out because they're decayed underneath all these restorations you got done.
Right.
So it's important. Make sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't do X, Y, and Z, but you know, just be informed.
Make sure the person who's going to be in your mouth doing stuff knows what they're doing.
Yeah, that's the most important. Yeah, that's important. Yeah.
But we had another question from Heather. Her question was, do I have to brush my teeth?
You don't have to do anything.
Sense a little sarcasm here from you, Heather. You don't have to, but
You should.
At least brush the teeth you want to keep.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Brush important. The teeth you want to keep. Yeah. I think that's important.
You're nasty.
So speaking of brushing your teeth, Rusty, how long should people brush their teeth?
Yeah, so 2 minutes. That's definitely how long you want to do it
for. So 2 minutes per tooth?
No, 2 minutes per mouth. I say what you do.
Per mouth. I have one
mouth. 2 minutes per mouth. So 2 minutes per mouth. That's, 2 minutes total. Exactly.
Deal.
Most people have one mouth, so I think 2 minutes covers most people.
Yeah.
If you have two mouths, maybe do 4 minutes. I haven't seen anyone
I haven't seen that yet, but if you do.
Yeah.
The more teeth you have, the longer you brush.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. I think so. the easiest way to think of it, too, is break your mouth up into four different parts.
Break your mouth up.
Think of your mouth in four different segments broken up and do 30 seconds a segment. That gets you to 2 minutes. That's the easiest way. Brush all sides
and
of your teeth.
Yeah, all sides. That's very important. Just like the little cartoons where you just touch the front. No. You got to go front, back, side, top, in between.
Right.
How do you get in between?
Flossing.
Huh.
Flossing gets in between.
How many people floss? Raise your hand.
Mike doesn't floss. No, he does. We both floss. None of us floss as much as you obviously should. Everyone should be flossing every day, multiple times a day. Really, after you eat a meal, you should floss. But
yeah, but who's got time?
If you're doing at least once a day, that's going to be the best for you. Brushing twice a day and flossing once a day. So what do? Do you brush or floss first?
I think it's important to floss first.
Yeah.
That kind of disrupts the plaque, bacteria, whatever's between the teeth. And then when you go through and brush your teeth gently, no sandpaper action here, it's removing more and more and more, and then you kind of get everything out. I think that's important.
Right. That is important. And
that's
the
order of operations. PEMDAS, for lack of better words, that I would
PEMDAS,
do.
PEMDAS, taking it back to math. Wow. Nice. Well, we showed earlier how bad we were at math and counting in the first episode. So we're getting better, folks.
Can't speak to math.
but we said 2 minutes while you're brushing. So what about other timing of like eating and drinking? When should you brush around that?
Yeah. So
first timing goes.
One thing that I tell people that's most important is do not brush 30 minutes before or after a meal, right? You don't want to disrupt that microenvironment that's in your mouth, especially if you drink coffee or something acidic or something that's like stained, sort of like red berries or something. If you brush immediately after consuming that, you're just going to brush that stain right into your teeth.
Right.
So,
or brush the acid, which is actually what causes cavities, and
erosive.
Then you'll get stain into your teeth, acid into your teeth. So you want to wait 30 minutes after eating before you brush. And then once you're done brushing, I always tell people, try not to rinse your mouth out. You want to let that toothpaste stay on your teeth and do its work. And then try not to eat or drink anything for 30 minutes once you're done brushing as well, just to kind of give your mouth a chance to have that most healthy environment to help rebuild any small problems you might have, gum infections or gum, tooth decay that's starting, things like that.
Agreed. So, what about that muscle.
The tongue. Yeah. brush that as well. So always tell people, brush your tongue. It can harbor a lot of bacteria, especially if you're a person that has like really deep grooves and things like that in your tongue. Definitely want to brush it. There are tongue scrapers as well that I think can do well.
I love tongue scrapers. I think they're great.
Yeah, it helps with breath as well a lot too. Yeah. Actually, you harbor a lot of bad breath in your tongue. So will help. Yeah. And you want to brush your gums as well. Mike said earlier, you know, not like sandpaper. Don't get in there real hard and crazy. Always advise a soft toothbrush. Yep. Never a hard bristle brush. I mean, it makes sense to think I really want to get in there and scrub my teeth and get that stuff off of there with a hard brush, but you can actually damage your gums and cause the gums to recede or shrink away from doing
too much.
And
like 10 years of brushing your teeth hard, you will remove your tooth.
Yeah,
you can. We see that. Mm-hmm. Even though enamel's really hard, you can remove it. It's just continuous. Just like if you see the erosion, what water can do just by dripping, the longer it happens, the bigger the hole. So just be careful. Soft toothbrush, light pressure. I always tell people 2 fingers. That's enough pressure.
Dainty.
Just
nice. And a lot of, if you're using an electric toothbrush, which I think is the best, I mean, manual is good as well, but electric is going to be a lot easier to do. A lot of those are going to have sensors on them as well. So if you're pushing too hard, they're going to vibrate or buzz at you, telling you, hey, you're pushing too hard, back off a little.
That's true.
Which is really nice. So,
my toothbrush is like 4 years old. And I haven't changed the head once, but I still get cavities. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that is weird. But never changing a toothbrush in 4 years, that's also not good. It's
wait, you're supposed to change the toothbrush?
You should definitely change it, Mike. Huh. Yeah. It's probably why you still have cavities. Every 3 months is what's recommended. So as soon as it's getting grimy, dirty at all, if the bristles start like fraying, that's what you want to look for. And if it's doing that at all, you definitely want to change your toothbrush. So if you're using a manual one, just get a new one. If you're getting an electric one, those heads will pop in and out and change it to a new one. Every 3 months will be the best.
Good to know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you don't want to be brushing that bad bacteria back into your mouth. The purpose of the toothbrush is to remove it, and then you're kind of just keeping it and harvesting it. So just get rid of it every 3 months.
Yeah, it's the best way.
Wait, Rusty, let's show the people how to floss.
Oh, yeah, flossing is good. So a little demonstration. One tooth here, one tooth here.
Here is my floss. I'm going to insert the floss between the teeth, a C-shaped motion. Scrub this tooth, C-shape. Scrub this tooth.
There we go.
Thank you.
Nice.
And that is my TED talk on flossing.
Think of it as two jobs when you're in there with your floss. The tooth in front, the tooth behind. Kind of get down below your gum line as close as you can and get in there with the floss and really get as much out as you can. And I think, like you said earlier, flossing before you brush is good because you're going to get all that stuff from in between the teeth out and knocked loose. And you can kind of brush it all away.
Agreed. And I will stand on this. I believe that string floss is the best floss. Just the way that you can get it between the teeth. There's that action where you can kind of pull it along the tooth and scrub. Do I use string floss at home? No.
You don't?
No, I use floss picks.
Okay.
I think the best floss
personally
is the floss you'll use.
Right.
But if you want to know the best floss to use, string floss, it's more effective.
Traditional string floss, right. And the little floss picks can also be, you know, kind of, if you jab them in there to your gums, can be damaging to the gums right there between the teeth. And so you also got to just be careful, kind of easily, wiggle it in there to get it down.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
So,
people will traumatize the papilla, which is the gum that goes between the tooth. Then you get recession. Once that papilla kind of goes down when you're jamming it for decades, just be careful.
So brushing your teeth, flossing your teeth is important, but if you brush too hard or if you're jamming floss in there too aggressively, you can do some damage to the gums. So be careful, be cautious. The gums are a really tender, delicate thing. So just be careful with them. Take good care of them. What do you think of mouthwash?
I don't think it's the most important thing ever, but I think if you're going to use a mouthwash, brush, floss. If you're not doing those, there's no point in using mouthwash, right?
Sure.
But if you're doing those things, you want to add something else. Mouthwash is great.
Yeah.
I would, if it were me, I would use an alcohol-free mouthwash.
Why?
You don't want it's almost like an antibiotic, right? When you use an antibiotic, you remove good bacteria and bad bacteria. Alcohol will remove the good bacteria and the bad bacteria. So we don't really want to do that. It's not terrible for you, but continual use. It's just, you know, you're not promoting a positive microbiome, kind of like gut health. You know, you use probiotics.
Right.
You want that good stuff in there too.
Right.
So if you're going to use a mouthwash, alcohol free.
Yeah.
I have a favorite mouthwash, and if they want to sponsor us, I'm happy to discuss it. But until then,
No shout outs for particular brands yet, I guess, but there are a few. Like you said, alcohol free is the best, and it's also good. Like, it's really hard to brush throughout the day, but you can mouthwash a lot easier, and so I think that's really important, especially if you're doing something like Invisalign or wearing retainers throughout the day. You're going to want to rinse your mouth out before you put something like that back in,
or if you have like bracket braces on. Right, it's important to keep things clean.
Yeah, right. Speaking of cleaning things like that, retainers, mouth guards, dentures, sleep appliances, all the things that you wear in your mouth that people can wear, how do you keep those clean?
So the best thing to do with like a mouth guard, things like that, you're going to brush with soap and water. I know you want to use toothpaste because toothpaste goes in your mouth, but toothpaste has additives in it that are abrasive. So like whitening toothpaste or even just regular toothpaste has abrasive particles. Those will put scratches in these things we give you, like mouth guards. And then that's where the bacteria builds up. Then it changes color and then it just degrades over time. But if you use something like soap, you're not going to get that kind of like abrasive particle action on there. So soap and water, not toothpaste.
Do you just rub your hands with soap and water and wash it? Should you brush it with your toothbrush? How do you do?
I don't know how Rusty does things, but I usually give patients a soft bristle brush when we deliver any sort of appliance. I don't know.
That's good. Exactly. Separate brush too. I was going to say is important. You have a separate brush that you're using for your retainer or sleep guard, whatever it is. It's separate from what you're brushing your teeth with. Yeah. Just kind of keep it clean, especially if you're using soap, because I mean, you don't want to be putting soap in your mouth. That's not just doesn't taste good. And then also, like Mike was saying, the toothpaste can damage the sleep appliance or a retainer. And so you just want to make sure you're not using toothpaste on it. So
have a separate toothpaste. And then, toothbrush. You know, we go through these steps like, okay, I brush, I floss, I'm effective, right? I'm still getting cavities.
Yep.
What does it come down to? Why am I getting cavities?
Yeah, I mean, if your oral hygiene is truly on point, right? You're someone who really brushes twice a day, you're flossing once a day, you come in, your gums, everything are looking nice and healthy, but you're still getting a bunch of cavities. You know, number one thing that I'm going to look at then is diet. That's going to be the thing that I talk about. The number one thing people really know the most about is sugar, right? Everyone thinks sugar causes cavities. It's, again, not the sugar itself, but it's the acid that causes cavities. So sugar feeds the bacteria, the bad bacteria in your mouth. Those produce acid. As they eat that sugar, the acid then causes the cavity or the hole. Yep. And so the acid is the problem.
Yeah. So should I change what I eat or should I change when I eat?
Both are important depending. And it's unique to each person, right? Some people are eating just too much sugar in their diet in general, too much processed carbs, too much junk, too much of an American diet. Let's be honest. It's so easy to get highly processed stuff here in the US. Correct. And that's a majority of what we're eating. Soda, highly processed stuff, things that are really acidic but don't have a lot of sugar too, that people don't realize are bad.
Like sugar-free beverages, right? Still have so much acid in them. So it basically comes down to frequency. If you're going to do all these things, like I still like sweets.
We all do, yeah.
Right, or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's important to do three distinct meals or minimize snacking as much as possible because it gives your mouth a chance to get back to that level pH it needs to be at. Because when you eat something that's highly acidic, it brings the acidity down to your mouth, and that's when you're more susceptible to cavities.
Right.
So the more times you eat during the day, so like we have people that will say, like, well, I eat like probably 15 times a day.
Just snacking, small meals throughout the day.
Yeah, and you don't really realize it because you're just slowly eating. That's when your body is just being attacked and constantly trying to fight off cavities, and then you're going to be more prone to cavities if you keep doing that over the course of your whole life.
Right. An analogy that is just from a tooth standpoint, not talking overall nutrition here, but it would be healthier for your teeth if you were to chug a 2 liter of Coca-Cola than if you were to slowly sip a single 12-ounce can throughout the whole day. Because if you have that acid attack in your mouth, boom, 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 but then it's going to buffer and be gone and be normal for the rest of your day where you're not causing cavities. But if you're slowly sipping a drink here or a drink here, an hour later you take a sip, an hour later you take a sip, your mouth constantly is in that acidic state.
Yeah. So frequency is key.
Acid is ass, y'all.
Acid is ass.
You don't want that.
So yeah, if you have impeccable oral hygiene, like we talked about, brush, floss, maybe you added mouthwash and you're still getting cavities, think about frequency, think about your eating, kind of attack it from that point. If you do all those, you should be A-okay. But sometimes people are more predisposed to cavities,
right?
Which sucks. So at my practice, we test you some, like if we can't figure out, you know, diet, we've done all these things, you're still getting cavities, we have the capacity to test you and see how many. So see if you have a high population of cavity-causing bacteria.
What do you mean test? How do you test?
We go in there and swab, and then we have a machine that reads the swab, and then it tells us if there's active carious, active cavity-causing bacteria.
Right.
And that machine gives us a number. And if you have a really high number, that'll tell us, you know what, we got to do something to combat that.
Yeah.
So we have these mouthwashes that we'll add that will kind of combat that bacteria.
Good. Nice. Yeah. There you go.
So that's kind of another level.
Specific bacteria that are causing your
problem.
Everyone
needs that.
Not necessarily for everyone, but if you're someone who you know, and be honest with yourself, but if you know that your hygiene is good, you know you don't eat a lot of sugar, a lot of junk, you know you're healthy, but you're still having this problem where you're getting cavities, you're needing a filling every time you go into the dentist, things like that, then maybe look into that. Yeah. Other things, like you were saying, saliva testing is super good to check out the bacteria, but also saliva is super important because that's what buffers the acid. So if you're someone who has dry mouth, that can really be a cavity problem. And there's hundreds of medications that cause dry mouth.
Right.
So if you have dry mouth, definitely be drinking lots of water, take saliva, you know, substitutes and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Drink water by at nighttime.
And talk to your dentist about a possible medication. I know that sounds insane. Medications causing dry mouth, you need a medication to offset the dry mouth. But yeah, discuss that, bring that up.
Yeah, or, you know, potentially, again, consult with your healthcare provider, but you can change medications and experiment with different ones if there's a specific one that you know or that is most likely to be causing your dry mouth.
Yeah.
Because dry mouth really causes cavities at a really fast rate in people, especially just like out on smooth surfaces by the gum line, areas that people don't typically get cavities or are more prone when they have the dry mouth.
Yeah, I think that's important to know. It's also important to, you know, if you should know if you have dry mouth, if you are not able to eat your food without taking a sip of water in between. Like if you, let's talk about how you know if you have dry mouth. So like if I have dry mouth, I would know so because one, I would not be able to talk without my lips and my tongue being dry. If your lips and tongue stick together like that when you're talking, that means you have dry mouth. Like that, I would discuss that with my dentist.
Right.
Or if you have to drink water between speaking, or if you're trying to eat and you can't seem to eat without having a beverage.
Okay.
I'm not saying like saltine cracker. Like that's very dry to begin with.
Right, right.
But like a normal, well-balanced meal. If you can't eat that without having sips of water between, you may have dry mouth. So bring that up to your dentist.
And I think most people that do have dry mouth are generally pretty aware of it. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone has had dry mouth at some point in your life.
It's
you know,
fun.
That cotton mouth is never fun.
No.
And it can really get you. But there's options for it. And I will say for denture wearers too, saliva is super important to help keep your denture in place without, you know, the need for adhesive or things like that. And denture wearers, another key thing is take your denture out at night.
Yeah.
Let it just, you know, again, take it out, brush, just like we were saying with the retainers, brush with warm soapy water, take it out at night and let your gum tissue heal and rest. Because if you don't, denture wearers are really prone to getting things like fungal infections on their dentures or on their gums underneath where the dentures are. So,
yeah. And then, we often have people that are like, okay, I've never had a cavity. Don't have a cavity. I come every 6 months. Why do I need to keep coming? Well, you don't have cavities because we're both working together and you come every 6 months. So
routine
keep it up.
Dental cleanings are important.
Yeah. 6 months at the minimum.
Yeah. Yeah. Twice a year. I mean, some people need 3 or 4 times a year, depending on their level of gum disease or cavity risk or their level of oral hygiene ability.
Yeah.
But yeah, twice a year at minimum for most people. And it's just super important for us to get in there and clean the stuff up that you can't, that you're missing, educate you on what's going on, monitor small things that we're watching or keeping an eye on.
Yeah, it's important. So yeah, that's the way. Those are some fast tips and tricks.
Yeah.
That we get. Those are some FAQs, if for lack of better words.
Yeah. The easy, how to keep your teeth. You know,
yeah.
It's important.
How to keep your teeth. That
how to
is
keep
the
your
episode
teeth.
Of how to keep your teeth.
Oh, another little tidbit. One thing I love to tell people is brushing twice a day is super important, right? A lot of people want to brush in the morning because they want that nice, fresh breath. But brushing at night is really the most important.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
if you're going to pick one.
Yeah. You brush in the morning to keep your friends and brush at night to keep your teeth.
Amen.
So keep brushing, y'all. Stay clean.
All right. See ya.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of DM a Dentist, brought to you by Dose of Dental. And thank you for your interest in improving your oral health. If you'd like your questions answered by Dr. Rusty and Dr. Mike, visit us at doseofdental.com or DM us on Instagram at Your Daily Dose of Dental.